Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
It is time now for The Bigger Picture. And Ryan, it may be the last trading day of the week, but there's certainly a lot to digest for investors.
There is. Let me run you through the long list. Right at top, we've got a reading on the US economy, and that is with the jobless claims numbers coming in rather soft. We've got it now at the highest in more than 1 month, and that is at 770,000, missing the estimates of 700,000. On the flip side, you've got the manufacturing numbers from the Philadelphia Manufacturing Index at 50-year highs. So that is painting a rather mixed picture for the US economy. And then you, of course, have the Alaska summit underway, where you have both sides trying to snipe at each other. And you've got rising bond yields, plunging oil prices, and also tonight you will be seeing quadruple witching, where options and futures contracts will all be expiring. So brace yourselves for volatility.
Indeed. With all of that in mind, I think you've got a lot to really talk about, especially trying to weave in a little bit about gold in there somehow. Yes. With your guest on The Bigger Picture.
So let's get a bigger picture from Abhilash Narayan. He's the Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Abhilash. How are you doing this Friday?
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Abhilash, thanks for helping me to crunch all the things that we need to be watching. So let's start with bonds first. Overnight, it hit a 14-month high past 1.75%, and that, of course, off the back of the Fed raising its growth outlook. Abhilash, how much is this in line with what the Fed is aiming for, and how fast and high do you expect bond yields to go from here?
Thanks, Ryan. And you're right, this is a big question in front of investors. So basically, after the Fed meeting earlier this week, where it increased the growth outlook as well as indicated it wants to run the economy hot, which essentially means that Fed will only raise rates when actual inflation rises and not inflation expectations, we are in a situation where we are in a tug of war for bond yields. So on one hand, Fed said it will not hike till 2023, which is almost 3 years, which should pull the yields down. But on the other hand, market is pricing higher inflation, which is driving yields higher. Now, we think that you could argue that market's expectations for inflation have run ahead of themselves. So if you look at five-year inflation expectations, they are at around 2.6% in U.S., which seems a stretch. Since before COVID, we were struggling to achieve inflation of even 2% despite being in an 11-year bull market. You know, that said, in the near term, the momentum is clearly towards higher yields. And from a technical standpoint, we have broken through key level of 1.65, and the next resistance lies close to 1.98%.
Yeah, Abhilash, help me make sense of what's going on in the US economy. You've got a rather mixed picture overnight. You've got the jobless claims numbers coming in rather soft. It's hitting a one-month high of around 770,000. And on the flip side, manufacturing is pushing on quite strongly to look at the Philadelphia Manufacturing Index, a 50-year high.
Yeah, and if you think about it, this is somewhat expected when we are in the phase of recovery. So what we did see last year was that participation rate, the number of people in the economy who are working, fell because some of the people felt that, you know, searching for jobs was a tough exercise. But as the economy recovers, more and more people start to get back into the job market. And this is something we saw even like in the previous recovery, where as economy recovered, as unemployment rate kept coming down, participation rate rose a bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we should focus on the overall unemployment rate, which is still on a strong downward trend and points towards an improving labor market. Mm-hmm. Now, if you talk about manufacturing, yes, we are getting fairly strong data, but it makes sense to remember that some of this is also sort of a catch-up effect, where manufacturers are working to restock some of the inventories which were drawn down, you know, in the past 12 months. So this should normalize in the next 3 to 6 months. But yes, overall, a very strong picture for U.S. economy.
Yeah, Abhilash, you pointed out this just now. There's a tug of war going on between two sectors, the tech and growth names versus the value and cyclicals. So with the bond yields pushing up higher, is it time to take profit from tech? And is this also bad news for REITs?
Well, we would not view it as an absolute thing. You should take a profit from tech or growth stocks. But we think, yes, there is an opportunity to rebalance. Now, obviously, higher bond yields hurt growth stocks a little bit more as compared to value stocks. And we think that the rise in yield that we have seen does bode well for the continuation of rotation we have seen from growth to value stocks. Now, within value, we like three particular sectors, financials, energy, and materials. So if you talk about financials, you know, higher bond yields should mean improved margins for banks, which is positive. Looking at materials sector, we expect nearly 40% earnings growth driven by economic rebound. And if you look at PE ratio for MSCI, you know, materials sector, it's trading at 24% discount to MSCI World Index. Energy sector is likely to see a strong earnings rebound as well, but we think that, you know, the shift towards ESG does create some long-term headwinds for the sector. But yeah, overall value stocks should outperform growth.
Yeah, I'm curious about REITs because for some time it's been seen as a bond proxies, but if the bond yields keep going up, is this going to be bad news for REITs?
Well, traditionally when bond yields do move higher, especially, you know, at the pace that we have seen, yes, it has hurt REITs to a certain degree because of the business model that REITs have. But it really depends on the time horizon. So if bond yields continue to rise in the next 3 months or so, yes, REITs could be under pressure. But if we take a slightly longer term view, maybe 2 to 3 years, and expect bond yields to stabilize, then obviously the improvement in economy should mean that REITs have a greater demand in terms of the assets that they hold, and that should mean that they can continue to generate decent income for investors. The other thing is obviously some investors are focused on total returns and some investors are focused on income. And in the low bond yield environment that we are in today, for investors seeking regular income, REITs still makes sense in a broad diversified allocation.
Yeah, we're talking Abhilash Narayan. He's the senior investment strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Now, Abhilash, you pointed out that the energy sector is something you're eyeing, but this is something that is swayed by what's going on in the economy in terms of recovery. And overnight, we saw actually oil prices plunging over 7%. And this is around how Europe is now battling a third wave and a slow vaccine rollout. What's your take on how actually oil prices are going to affect energy stocks?
Thanks, Ryan. Yes, obviously, we have seen a big pullback in oil prices overnight. But it's probably worth remembering that oil has seen a very, very sharp, strong rally in the past, you know, 3 or 4 months. So we view it as a consolidation rather than something more. But yes, you're right. Oil prices right now are very, very sensitive towards demand estimates, and the second or third wave we are seeing in Europe as well as other emerging market countries does negatively impact the demand estimates. So yes, in the near term, oil prices can consolidate in the current range, but we think that the overall trend for economic recovery in 2021 remains intact. So we are looking for oil prices to hit $76 per barrel by end of 2021.
Hey, Abhilash, and just to wrap things up, let's get a take on gold. And of course, with expectations of inflation ticking up, is there going to be a resurgence in gold? Right now, it's actually down 2.5% for the month, and year-to-date is down over 8%. Are we going to see a comeback for gold?
Yes, gold has been one of those assets which has confounded investors that despite rising inflation expectations, it hasn't done really well. Now, there are two aspects which drive gold prices. The first one is the dollar. So generally, a weaker dollar is supported for gold prices. And if you think about it, heading into the year, the consensus was that the dollar would weaken. But given the rise in yields that we have seen this year and, you know, some risk of sentiment around emerging markets, the dollar has not declined. In fact, it has strengthened over the past few weeks. And that has hurt gold prices. The second thing which matters for gold is real interest rates rather than inflation themselves. If you look at real interest rates, they have declined because bond yields actually have risen faster than inflation expectations. So the decline in real yields has hurt gold prices. Now, looking ahead, we expect real yields to stabilize or maybe turn a slightly more negative than what they are today. So we think that in the next 12 months, gold prices should touch above $1,900 per ounce. But yes, in the near term, there could be some volatility.
All right, $1,900, that is some way away from where it is right now, just slightly above $1,700. So something to look forwards in the year ahead. We've been chatting with Abhilash Narayan. He is the Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Abhilash, thanks for your time and happy weekend in advance.
Thank you, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.